because he took someone's life. Avi Melech, excellent. Hannah Amir also said Vayechalom. No, bad dreams having nothing to do with Nivuah, even though, we know that the Rambam will tell us that one level of Nivuah is a Chalom, but it doesn't use or, again, incorporate the terminology of Hashem's appearance at all. So much so that many of the Midrashim explain, like we know today in modern psychology, that a dream is really the expression of one's subconscious. So let's take a look. Vayechalom, he sees a ladder extended upwards, and Malachei Elokim Olim V'Yordim Bo, there are angels that are going to go up and down, ascending and descending the celestial ladder. V'Yinei Hashem Nitzav Alav. And lo and behold, God is on top of the ladder. V'Yomar Ani Hashem Elokei Avraham Avicha. What's a little difficult about this pasuk? On one hand, it seems to be a continuation of the dream. For after all, pasuk Yidamo begins with Hashem standing on top of Alav. Apparently, what is the Alav? What is the object that Hashem is standing on top of? Apparently, the Sulam. In which case, now Hashem is speaking within the context of a Chalom. So take a look. The Ramban explains, I know this is confusing, he says, V'nei Sulam Utsav Arta V'rosho Magi Hashemayim L'v'nei Ma'chal Okeim Olim V'yordimbo. Herahu B'chalom HaNivuah. So the Ramban, like almost all of the other medieval Parshanim here, explains and exclaims simultaneously that this was a Chalom Nivuah. Don't think that this is simply a dream. It was really Nivuah. Ki kol ha-nasa ba'aretz nasa al yedei ha-malachim v'akol b'zeirat elyon alehen. According to the Ramban, what is the proof that this is really a celestial type of vision, not one subconscious, but a Chalom Nivuah? The fact that there are malachim, and if you recall, according to the Ramban, malachim have corporeality. If malachim have corporeality, that's when God sends them to relate to man, and therefore they have to be, I would say, invigorated with some strength, initiated with shlichut from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if there are malachim in the picture, then who else is in the picture? The celestial spheres of God. And he'll continue to say, I know this is strange, that are here on the ground, but when Hashem is sending them specific, that means that he's also in the picture, because he's on top of the sulam. The next paragraph, and the truth is that the contrast here is meant to show Yaakov that it's not the malachim who are taking care of him, but Hashem is deeply involved, and that's why he's going to appear together with the malachim. Obviously, the Ramban has to elaborate on this, because then the question is, if malachim are in the picture, and that is already a proof that there is a nevuah, then why do we need God in the picture? If these are the messengers of God, so according to the Ramban, this is to encourage Yaakov that I'm not just sending you through my second-hand messengers, rather, you're going to receive first-class treatment here. I'm going to be the one taking care of you. And al dat Rabbi Elazar Hagadol, Pirkei to Rabbi Elazar, Haizadot Hamareh, Kinyan Bein Habtarim Avram. What do you know? According to the Ramban, this is a nevuah, just like the personal premonition of Avram Avinu, which tells us something very significant. This is not about even national destiny. This is to deal with Avram and Yaakov Avinu's fears, with their fear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved in their life. Can anyone think of the context of Rivein Habtarim? For those who don't, you can turn back to Breshit Perek Tedvav, with Lot, and what happened right after the war? It's right after the war of Lot, Liat. Right? And what happens? Avram says, Hashem says, not to worry about Lot. He says, Uva Meshek Beiti Eliezer, who Yerashalti. All of a sudden, Avram is coming with all of his doubts, with personal compunctions. And then Hashem says, no, I told you, you're going to get the land. What does Avram then say? Bame Eida Ki Erashena. One of the greatest philosophical / personal questions of Avram Avinu. Rashi understands it indeed as personal doubt. Do I have enough merit after I won this war to go ahead and still deserve the land? Maybe I lost out on my Schuyot. And therefore, the Ramban explains, it's the same type of an idea. It's a personal premonition. According to this, what is the common denominator over here? Sometimes God will give a personal nevuah for what purpose? What do Bripin Haftarim and this Chalom Nevui of Yaakov Avinu share in common?
Like reassure.
To?
Reassure.
Very nice. Reassurance of a greater national destiny that is going to be dependent on the personal confidence. Beautiful. Right? So that's a wonderful idea that's being told here that really doesn't have much to do with any type of national task. Notice that the Ramban will use as his proof the ensuing psukim, which will talk about Yaakov Avinu's reassurance that he's going to return to this land, everything's going to be okay, and Hashem is going to provide him for all of his personal needs, telling us that this is what was really latent behind the nevuah to begin with. Rabbeinu B'chaye will say something very similar. Keep in mind that he generally follows more or less the school of thought of the Ramban. Beautiful. Vayachalom. En chalom zeh kalachalomot hanuhugim b'nei adam. He says, do not think that this is just a dream. No, no, no. This is personal nevuah premonition time. Gam eino chalom shel ruach hakodesh b'lvad. And don't think that this is a ruach hakodesh type. This is very interesting, by the way, because there are chalomot of ruach hakodesh, like who experience a ruach hakodesh chalom. Again, yafem od Yosef. Again, that really is a ruach hakodesh type of chalom. It's not a nevuah chalom. Or later on, Daniel will receive ruach hakodesh types of chalomot. How do you know it's not nevuah? Again, otherwise it would have said when Yaakov wakes up, Vayikat Mishnato Vayomar, it doesn't say Vayikat and he says, oh, what an interesting dream I had. Rather he says, look at Pasuk Tzayin, Achen Yesh Hashem Bamakom Hazev Anochi Lo Yadati. This was something much more beyond a personal chalom. This was a personal nevuah. She'ilu kein haya omer b'sof Vayikat Yaakov Mishnato V'hinei Chalom, aval chalom shel nevuah gmura kinyan chalom. Please keep this in mind, that really, do you remember when HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebukes Miriam for almost chastising Moshe Rabbeinu, speaking about him as if he's just a regular guy, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, 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 generally there are two different levels of nevuah. I can speak to a Navi b'mar'eh elav atvadeh, or b'chalom adaberbo. Two different stages of nevuah. A mar'eh is an alert state. A chalom is a little bit more of a fuzzy state. But still, they both are under the category of nevuah. And what does Hashem say? Lo chen avdi Moshe, b'chol beiti ne'man hu pe'el pe adaberbo. Moshe, and the Rambam will use this as a basis for talking about 11 different levels of nevuah, 10 that are experienced by everyone, possibly, but the potential level of Moshe Rabbeinu that is only expressed exclusively with him, and that's the pe'el pe'. Why is this significant? Because Rabbeinu B'chaye explains, it starts off actually as a chalom nevui from the very onset, a personal premonition. Lo and behold, it will also turn into a mar'en nevui as HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually talks to him. Sforno is going to say something similar as well. Achen yesh Hashem v'makom hazeh ein safik shezeh hamakom muchan lenevuah. He proves it, also not from the beginning, by chalom chalom, but rather from Yaakov's response. How does Yaakov respond? Just like Rabbeinu B'chaye said, not, oh my gosh, I just had a powerful dream, but rather, this is a place of God. This is a place, muchan lenevuah, miachar shereiti bo marek kazot, bilti shet kaven lenevuah. I wasn't even trying to receive nevuah. I thought that I was going to go to sleep, but I had such a powerful chalom that it was really nevuah. Ki amnam yishtanu tchunot mishamashei ha'etzem ha'sechli. This is the Sforno, by the way, who is very close to Pshat, again, who always is going to be a textually oriented Parshan, again, very similar to the Ramban, and he says you need, people can even recognize when they receive Nevuah, because different neurological cells are activated in a state of Nevuah. Notice this, Misham Shei Ha'etzem HaSachli HaMitnaveh, Kefi Yishtanu Ta'aretz V'Havir, just like you can tell the difference of atmospheres. Right, what does he mean by this? Again, you can go outside and you can say it feels very humid, right? Or there's another day you can go outside and say it feels very arid. Is it the same atmosphere? You walked out of the same Dalet Amot, and yet the atmosphere can change. You can feel it, right? So too with regard to Nivu. It's the same atmosphere, but it just feels very different, he says. Just like, you have to love this Varno, by the way, who says, I'll bring you a great example. Avira shel Eretz Yisrael machkim. Again, can't really tell you, but there's something about the air in Eretz Yisrael. This is the secret to your children's enrichment. Gana, that Avira de Eretz Yisrael machkim. That's what will do it. Gana, something within the air. Now, you and I may breathe the same air, but whether we like it or not, again, in Eretz Yisrael, there's something that just enlivens those sensory nerves in the brain. Right, you're all supposed to be nodding. Right, you miss it. I know. Again, we're on lower IQs over here. Had I known that this is what was going to happen, had I known that my chelak ha-sechli would have been activated to a nevuah level, I would have prepared myself a little more, telling us that most people prepared, entered a meditative state. By the way, could you work on yourself in order to activate your own cells? Yes, again, here's a good example. You have to work a little harder in chutz la'aretz, but yes, it can be done. Who is going to express a little differently? This is, again, I'm sure many of you are familiar with this, but note the Rambam now. The Rambam says as follows, V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav, kayam, omed alav, klamar al hasulam, even though there are parshanim, Like, again, the Midrashim that will explain, Hine Hashem Nitzav Alav may not even mean that Hashem is standing atop of the ladder, but rather Hashem is hovering over Yaakov Avinu, right? Protecting Yaakov, according to some Midrashi Chazal, Dafka, from the Malachim who want to hurt him. But let's go back to Pshat. The Rambam says, yes, Hashem is standing al hasulam, asher katzeo harishon b'shamayim, katzeo acharon ba'aretz. One end is in the heavens, the other he sees in the aretz. Uvo ya'ale, kol mi she'ya'ale, ad she'yasig meisha alav b'hechrech. He says, this ladder is an objective ladder, meaning you could have this dream as well. We all dream of ladders, says the Rambam. Isn't that beautiful? Now, I see Talia's face. When was the last time you dreamt of a ladder? Again, I didn't dream of a ladder last night. I actually had the weirdest dream last night. I'm not going to share it with you, but it was very weird. I will supply, and I'll tell you, because now I can't help it. And I remember the tshuva that came out like 3 weeks ago by Rav Abergili about the heter of Pilakshim. So I don't know why I thought about this on Lil Tisha B'Av. I was picturing, like, Am Yisrael in the Beis HaMikdash, and then I pictured, like, again, Ir David rebuilt, and I pictured the harem. Again, there was a huge harem. I was like, oh my, I do not want this part of society. No, I don't want the people like that. And then I started, like, picturing people in Eretz Yisrael, like, everyone's going to have their own part. Not good. I don't know why I was thinking about this. Again, no, I know I was. It was in my subconscious, obviously, for 3 weeks, and I finally dreamt, and I realized that even though there's a heter, there is a halachic heter for it, I'm really against it. So now you know my feeling about this. Okay, back to this. So now, but the other parts of the Mikdash I really liked. It was very cool. There was central air conditioning. There was like this cool email system, like telling you, you know, who can now enter. Instead of the bulot that they once had, yeah, I saw they got like computerized cards, you know, that, and I think that this was inspired by your Apple store, that anytime you got a kosher korban, all you have to do was swipe it and it said tahar. Okay, never mind. That was I have weird dreams every once in a while, but again, but you're conscious of your dream. So how many of you have dreamt of ladders? You may not have dreamt of actual ladders, but we all dream of ladders. What does the Rambam mean by this? What do we dream of? What are ladders symbolic of? Our aspirations. Thank you. Gana, we all dream, he says. And anyone, Gana, these ladders are for anyone. Anyone can aspire. Now he says, ideally, and you can imagine, I'm sure the Rambam dreamt of ladders all the time. And I can imagine, Karen, you dream of ladders, right? Again, these aspirations. And beautiful. And in what direction are they going? Thank you, the tree pose. That's beautiful. They're going towards Shamayim. Right, don't you have these dreams? I mean it. Sometimes, beautiful. That's actually Rav Chaim. The Nefesh HaChaim says, we actually dream of coming down, but not totally down. But the Rambam says, we aspire to go up. Take a look at this. Again, all the way up to Shamayim. Achar shuvol meit kayam al rosh hasulam. He says this part is really umuvoarhu shemamari hina alav hu kafisha zeh hamashal hanasu. Again, it's on the ladder. Umalachei Elohim heim hanivim. He says, I'll prove to you that it really is his subconscious dream. It has nothing to do with an actual nevuah. Because he sees Malachei Elohim going up and down. Who are these Malachim? You have to remember, according to the Rambam, do Malachim have corporeality? No. So if Malachim are going up and down, then they must have corporeality. Oh, don't worry. They're not real Malachim. What are they? These are Nevi'im, who first noticed the terminology, says the Rambam, going back to the Pesukim. What does he see? He sees Malachei Elohim, Olim V'yordimbo. And he says, I'll prove it to you. The Malachim don't start in the heavens, because in what direction are they going to first? Up. Olim, they're going up. So where are they starting from?
Down.
Here. Again, I'm talking about personal mortal beings who aspire to be like Nevi'im. What does that mean? To go and reach heavenward for what sake? To come Yordim. Because after everyone reaches certain celestial, spiritual heights, what is his responsibility? In order for him to then come back down, isn't this fascinating, according to the Rambam? That really Yaakov Avinu was dreaming about what? Was dreaming about the possibility, was aspiring to be a Navi. Isn't that amazing? He hasn't received Nevuah. He knows his father, his grandfather has received Nevuah. He's dreaming at this moment, as he's about to leave Eretz Yisrael, about receiving Nevuah. Says the Rambam, then what happens? Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'nei Hashem Nitzav Alav Vayomer, Ani Hashem Elokei Avram. According to the Rambam, what happens in the middle of his dream? His dream was transformed into a nivuah, and that we know from the words Vayomar Ani Hashem. He actually heard, again, a malach saying Ani Hashem, whatever the case may be, but once you hear the voice of God, that's already a nivuah. Isn't that cool? Again, but whatever you see, based on the Rambam, or based on the other parshanim, here we definitely do find the possibility of a nevuah being a personal premonition. This was all about Yaakov Avinu, whether fulfillment of his personal aspiration to be a Navi, again, to have Hashem speak to him, to have a relationship with him, or certainly according to the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Bachayi and the Sforno, the idea of recognizing that he's receiving Nevuah and has a particular relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam Memor in Nevuchim Chelek Beh, Perek Lamed Vav, will continue to speak about the Koach Hadberi Tchila. He speaks here about the difference between a Chalom and a Mar'eh, and how the Nevuah itself is going to activate pu'ulot of koach hamidameh. How nevuah, he says, you have to be very careful, because a chalom can lead to nevuah. Again, someone who dreams, a dreamer, someone who aspires, especially for spiritual heights, such a person, he says, has the possibility, has the potential of then receiving nevuah, but he has to be in that mindset, he has to be very focused, and then, again, back to the second paragraph, ukfar yadat ol pulotze hakoach hamedameh, miskor hamuchashim v'arkavatam v'hachikoy asher b'tivo. It's really an expression of his natural makeup, of his composition, v'shagdula shebepulotav hanechbedet shebehem amnam tiyeh b'noach hachushim v'tulam l'pulotehem. And a person will reach the state when he just lets go. He's going to, after really activating all his senses, when he lets go for a moment, as yishafa alav ktsat shefa kefi hachana. Then based on his preparation, spiritual preparation, that some Nevi'im actually had to be trained to do, I guess in Yaakov Avinu's case, he was mamish there, maybe in a very focused state, running away from his brother, and that's the idea of hasiba b'cholomot ha-tzotkot v'hu batmo sibat ha-nevuah. This is the same Siba here doesn't mean the reason in as much as the primary cause. The primary cause for Nevuah would be the same primary cause for dreams. Why do we dream? Because we aspire, right? Only people who dream, dream. You got that? Gana, and basically, here he says, so once you have a dream, the dreamers are the ones who ultimately aspire, and then they could be the ones to receive Nevuah. And this is going to lead us to what Liat said, is basically, in the next case that I'd like to speak to you about, even though I also put on more Nevuchim Chelek Beh, Perek Hamalech, for you to see some of the other differences between a Chalom and a Mar'eh Nevuah. But now I want to take a classic case to show you how understanding this not only is going to shed light on personal Nevuah, but also on how we reread narratives, especially in Nevuah. So let's take a look at Nevuah Shaul. A little bit of background over here. Shaul is going to be chosen to be the first king of Yisrael. He, as you know, goes looking for his donkeys. He ultimately is going to seek out the Ro'eh, the seer. Shmuel already knows that Hashem has chosen him as we reach Perek Yud. The next morning, Vayikach Shmuel et Pach HaShemen, Vayitzok al Rosho, Vayishakeo, Vayomar Halo, Ki Meshachacha HaShem HaNachalato Lenagid. And he says to Shaul, as you already leave me today, I want to show you, I want to prove to you that you really are the divinely elected king. So you're going to have a few signs. Sign number one, Umatata Shnei Anashim in Kfurat Rachel. Sign number one is that you're going to meet two people by Kfurat Rachel, B'Gvul Binyamin B'Tzoltzach. This seems to be the basis for Kever Rachel not being in Beit Lechem Yehuda, but rather in Beit Lechem, or Zerech Ephrata near Ephraim, which makes a lot more sense between Ephraim and Binyamin, the children of Rachel. Also makes much more sense in Parshat Vayishlach, because Yaakov is coming back from the northern parts right after Betel is when Rachel dies, so right next to Betel. For those who are familiar with this area of Kuvraya Beit Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, don't worry, this is going to be part of our Tiyul, because it's on the way. So, again, now we'll see this Kever Rachel. So, and this is on the way back, obviously, to Shaul's palace, which is not in Nachalat Yehuda, but in the area of Tel Alful. Anyone been there? And north of Yerushalayim? That's right. Okay, Vamru. Elachanim Silhat. So note, and these two people are going to tell you that they found your donkey, so you have nothing to worry about. So that's going to be sign number one. V'chalafta misham, pasuk gimel. When you leave that place, you're going to go to a tree called Alon Tavor. Mutzulcha sham shlosha nashim olim alokim Beitel, and you're going to meet three people who are on their way to Beitel. One is going to be carrying shlosha gadiyim, achad shlosha kikarot lechem, achad nosei nevel yayin, and they're going to ask how you're doing, and they're going to give you two of their loaves of bread. Then, which by the way is a sign also of nevuah. Achar kein tavo gevat alokim asher sham nitzvei plishtim. Then you're going to go to the mountain, basically near where your house is, in the area of Gevat Shaul. And lo and behold, the Plishtim are in control of the area, so when you get there, you're going to meet a Chevel Nevi'im, a whole group of Nevi'im who are going to be walking around with their musical instruments. Why did Nevi'im walk around with musical instruments? And Nevuah Shel Ra'eh Ela Mitoch Simcha, to reach that meditative state, Behima Mitnavim, Vitzalcha Alecha, notice the play on words, Tzeltzach is the first place, and then Vitzalcha. And some of that spirit of Nevuah is going to come on you, Vitznavita Iman, then Afachta Lishacher. So Shaul already hears that he's going to be experiencing Nevuah. Keep this in mind. What does this already tell you? His Nevuah, we don't even know the content of the Nevuah, but the Nevuah is a sign, again, a personal premonition for him. These are all personal signs that Hashem wants him to be the king of Israel. You can do with it whatever you want, Ishmael. This is for you. ויראתת לפניי הגלגל, והנה אנחנו יורד אליך לעלות עולות לסבוח סבכי שלמים, שבת ימים תאכל עד רואי אליך, ועודת אליך את אשר תעשה. He says, the next thing I want you to do is to turn around and go to Gilgal, you'll wait for me for 7 days, and then I'll tell you what to do. Look at Pasuk Tet. והיה כך נוטו שכמו ללכת מעם שמואל. Which already tells you a little bit of the arrogance of Shaul. He turns his back on Shmuel. You don't do that to a Navi. But ve'yafach lo alukim li'vacher ve'yavol kolotot ha'ila b'yamo. And sure enough, all the signs come true. We're not going to involve ourselves so much in a reading, but it could even be ve'yafach lo alukim li'vacher, that by virtue of the fact that he turned already on Shmuel, that Hashem already perhaps changed his future, right? The chutzpah that you already see here. But Gena Pasuk Yud, this one you teach us, you'll look back. Sure enough, there he meets the Nevi'im, and whoever knew him from before, they see him reaching the state. This is one of our proofs that someone who receives Nevuah, especially during the day, it's manifest to all those who are watching. What, Shaul is also receiving Nevuah? Vayan, ish misham vayam umi avihem, lakin hatala masha, hagam Shaul b'nevi'im. Sure enough, it became even a slogan, hagam Shaul b'nevi'im. They recognize that something has changed about him. So here, by the way, is another proof that Nevuah can serve as a personal premonition. By the way, I just added the last three psukim for you to look, interestingly, at psukim yudalad and tetvav. Pretend that you're not even reading the actual words, right, with the vowels. What happens within the next three psukim? Yudalit tetvav tetzayin. Who seems to pop up in the next three psukim? This is just cool. David. Isn't that cool? It's really his dode, but why do we have to hear about his uncle? Because the Navi doesn't want to tell you about his uncle. He wants to hint that. Who's already in the background of the story? Don't you love Navi literary devices? Okay, there. Just had to put that in. Okay, next. Now we're going to skip a couple of prakim. As you know, a lot happens to Shaul. He fights against Yabesh Gala. Then, together with Yonatan, he fights against the Plishtim. And Gena, things seem to be going okay. What I mean by okay is he's kind of listening to Shmuel. Again, he messes up a little by Gilgal. Doesn't really wait for him. And then we find Perek Tedvav. He doesn't really listen, that's the Mila Mancha there, with regard to killing off Amalek, and Hashem already tells Shmuel to go and appoint someone in his place, and sure enough, he anoints David. Comes along Perek Yud Zayin, and yes, it seems that these prakim are somewhat out of order, and David is going to be the great warrior who kills off Goliath in basically war number 3 against the Plishtim in the area of Emek Ha'ela. Let's see the aftermath of that, keeping in mind that Shaul's already told by Yimascha Hashem Yimelech al Yisrael that Hashem is despised with his Malchut. Shaul does not know what Shmuel knows, because it's really only Shmuel and Yishai that know that who's going to be the king. This was a personal, private coronation of David. Apparently, right after the story of Goliath, but according to some, again, even a little before, when David was already hired as the personal musician to Shaul, David and Shaul get along very well. Yonatan basically sees the same pioneering, again, passionate spirit. I would even say somewhat spontaneous spirit, the same Yonatan who initiated the war against the Plishtim. He sees this. Most Parshanim understand this to mean that beforehand, he was just, Shaul didn't even know him that well. He went back and forth as his personal musician. But now he's going to be by Shaul's side at all times. Again, a lot of me'il terminology going on in Sefer Shmuel, beginning with Chana giving Shmuel a me'il. And sure enough, David is going to be sent out on regular military assignments, and everyone is very happy. And especially, they come out and parade as the women of ancient times used to do in front of their victor, the king. And this became the new song, that Shaul killed thousands, but David has killed tens of thousands. Shaul, who no longer has the approval of God of his kingship, is so dependent on, truth is from the onset, dependent on the people's desire, the people's approval of him as a king. And as you can imagine, they give David 10,000 and me only thousands. The oh lo achem melucha. Next thing you know, they're going to want to give him the melucha, which tells you that it's in his subconscious. Can you understand? Can you see this? How do I know that he doesn't know for sure that David's going to be the king? He has no way of knowing, and no one has no way of knowing, because the only ones who know, as far as we know, are David and Shmuel. Vayhi Shaul oyein et David mayom uvahala. And sure enough, Shaul is going to see David basically as a threat. Vayhi mimacharat. Batitzlach. Why am I pausing? That was the same word that was used by Tzaltzach. And again, Batitzlach v'tzalcha alecha ruach Hashem pasifav. So when I see Batitzlach, I know this is the Navi's way of saying, this isn't just a ruach elukim ra'a el Shaul. What is it? It's a nevuah. But it's a nevuah ra'ah. It's not a nevuah, again, in the conventional sense of a nevuah that someone has to relate to the people. Mm-mm. This is his personal nevuah. Last time he had a personal nevuah for reassurance. That I would even call a ruach tova el sha'ul. This is going to be a personal premonition. But what type of premonition? Okay. A negative one, we're told. This is all we're told over here. And sure enough, what is it that he experiences? Vayitnaveh betoch habayit. If you weren't sure that this is nevuah, the Navi says, I want you to know that this was a nevuah. V'david menagein biyado ki yom biyom v'achanit biyad Shaul. Are you all familiar with the story? Mm-hmm. Can anyone tell me what happens in the story? Shaul tries to kill him. And then David does what? He does what? No, doesn't run away. He dodges it. That's right. Ah, thank you. And no, you learned this with me, yes. But that's okay. So Tamar's going to pretend for 5 minutes. It was the same class. That's right. But you're going to pretend for 5 minutes that you didn't learn this. So notice this. We all learn. Okay. But now you can envision it differently. Devorah, see, this is like real chinuch. When you know it's days. That's very nice. So thank you. Most of us have learned this, that David dodges the chanit, the spear of Shaul. What bothers you, though? Let's take a look at this. David is playing kiyom biyom v'chanit biyat Shaul, and Shaul has his chanit in his hand because this was basically the position of the king. Vayitel Shaul at chanit, and Shaul lifts at the chanit, vayomer akebet David uvakir. I'm going to hit David and the kir. Vayisov David mipanav pa'amayim. And David moves away from him twice. Now we're a little bothered. Yes, indeed. As we continue. Thank you. And all of a sudden, Shaul is afraid before David because Hashem was with David. Again, difficult to know what it means, but how did we always learn this? I mean this in like 7th grade, 8th grade. So once Shaul saw that David was able to dodge twice, so then Shaul realizes that, you know, he's a pretty good marksman, right? So it must be that Hashem is with David. Right? Is this how you all learned this? Okay. So Shaul wants, again, to get David out of his face. Why? Because David apparently reminds him of the fact that Hashem is with him. That's right. So he makes David Sar Elef Vayete Vayavo Lefnei Ha'am. So instead he's going to make him a top general. I thought a little difficult. Very nice, so just kill him if you don't really like him. That's right. Thank you very much, Aaron. Again, keep this in mind. You ready for this? The next perek. And this is where all the questions arise. What happens, though, is that when you learn this in, like, fifth grade, so you learn perek chet, like you had, like, 40-minute periods for Navi, something like that. So it took you, like, 2.5 weeks to learn perek yud chet, and you're now, like, 3 weeks later when you learn perek yud tet. So take a look at this. Ve'idaber Shaul Yonatan b'no. But just remember that one scene follows the other. Then Shaul starts to divulge his evil spirit to others. He begins with those closest to him, his family members, his avadim. He says, Lamita David. He shares with them his desire to kill David. Yonatan ben Shaul chafetz b'David ma'od. But Yonatan really likes David. So Yonatan tells David, do you know, mevakei Shaul avi lahamitacha, v'ata hishamerna baboker v'yashavta baseita v'nechbeita. So what does Yonatan tell David? You know, my father really wants to kill you. What should David have said?
Dead.
Oh yeah, I know that because he tried it twice. Again, does David say that? No. Like, David sounds surprised when Yonatan says, you know, you should really go hide. And don't worry, I'm going to speak to my father and I'll see what happens. Yonatan starts to speak in David's favor in front of his father, and he says, come on, don't do anything wrong to David, because he didn't do anything wrong. As a matter of fact, his victories are attributed to you. It's good for you. He risked his life, he killed the Plishti, and it's true that Hashem ended up helping all of Am Yisrael because of him. So you should be happy. Lama tachata b'dam naki? Why would you want to kill innocent blood? L'hamita David chinam, to kill David for no reason. And lo behold, v'yishmash ol b'kol Yonatan v'yishavash ol chai Hashem imimati. You know what, Yonatan? You're right. Again, I swear in the name of God that he should not die. Yonatan calls David back and he says, you see, I influenced my father, he loves you again. In the meantime, David is fighting wars, everything is going great. Pasuk tet, v'tihi ruach Hashem ra'a el Sha'ul, v'hu b'veto yoshev v'chaniso b'yado. Anything bother you? Okay, now I know that you're really post-Tisha B'Av tired. Again, read pasuk tet again. You're all supposed to say... Okay, we heard this. You're all supposed to say deja vu. Right? Did you remember? Didn't we just learn this? I mean, when you were in fourth grade, it was 3.5 weeks ago. But now, it was 5 minutes ago. We heard about the scene. What? Again, now, sure enough, Shaul wants to kill David b'chanir u'bakir, v'yiftar m'pnei Shaul, v'yachat t'chanir bakir, v'david nas, v'yamalei p'alaylohu. Oh my gosh. Shaul tries it again, but this time... David runs away. What? You didn't trust it the first time? And now he's going to try another time? And this is right after you said to Yonatan that I'm not going to kill him? So what is going on? Now, sure enough, Shaul is going to send Malachim Beit David l'shamor l'amito baboker, and Michal is going to save him, as you know. And by the next morning, David is out the window and he runs away to Shmuel, again, all the way in Ayot. And what happens there? Another interesting Nevuah scene. Again, Vayigad l'Shaul, Pasuk Yitzad Lingmor, Hinei David ben Ayot b'Ramah. David has run away to Shmuel's personal Navi training school in Ramah. Vayishlach Shaul Malachim l'kachad et David v'yard l'akata Neviim Nibim u'Shmuel omei nitzav aleihem, telling you that this is a Navi training school. And what do you know? The messengers start to receive Nevuah. And it gets back to Shaul, so he sends another group and another group after three times, because this is the common phrase in Tanakh. Three times he sends him, and lo and behold, that's when Shaul goes himself. And what happens to him? Pasuk chavdalid vayishot gam hu begadav yitnaveh gam hu lefnei Shmuel vayifol aron kol hayom ahu v'chol halayla akein yomru agam Shaul v'nevi'im. And notice the motif here of dressing and undressing throughout these parakim, but that's obviously, if we were learning these a little bit more, bi'iyun. But this is, you know, is the closure to the Shaul dynasty. It begins with Hagam Shaul b'Nevi'im, it ends with Shaul b'Nevi'im. And lo and behold, if I would ask you, does Shaul receive any nevuah in between? The answer is yes. Gena? How then? What is going on over here? If you take out these sheets, which was basically the beginnings of an article that I'm still working on, but you'll tell me what you think. At the end of Perek Yitzayin, David, again, defeated Goliath. Then we come and we have the strange story of Vayarshul Mufnei David Kashem Hayaimo. Again, this is right after he tries to kill him. But we're bothered by the fact that, lo and behold, he doesn't run away. It's almost as if Yonatan is the one who divulges to David, oh, by the way, you know that my father wants to kill you. If you take a look then, let's look at the various parshanim, and we see something very interesting. And that is, again, we can start with the line on the bottom, Yeshnam Shnei Drachim Shonot Lefarish Et HaFarsha HaChati Derech Shabo HaChol HaParshanim HaShniyah Hi Derech Hadasha. Here we go. Nireh Shapitaron LeParshan Na'ut B'Sheila, what does the word Vayitnavei mean? So Targum Yonatan says, I don't know, it's not a real Nevuah, it must mean Ishtate, he went crazy. Is that how we generally understand Nevuah? No. Again, so Rashi, but why does Targum Yonatan say that? I don't know, it doesn't seem to be a Nevuah. It seems that he's just trying to kill David. So let's just say he went crazy. And Rashi understands that here it's using the term Nevuah, L'ta'er Meshuga, Kivan Shanavi V'Shoter Shnehem Medabrim B'Ramazim V'Omrim Devarim Lo Bruim, to tell you that Shaul is acting abnormally, just like sometimes a Navi acts abnormally. You like that?
No.
And you can say yes, but the Abar Benel, who wants to preserve the terminology of Nevuah, says, Vayam mitnavei ba'atzmo ma sheyeh, v'nosei v'noteini mo b'dato, v'ayta machshavato meshutetet, sh'David haya be'emet yoresh machuto, klamar hu haya tarud b'machshavotav, al atid hamachut shelo v'yal hachashash, sh'ze yilakach mimenu. What does that mean? מסתבר ששאול נהג כמנהג הנביאים המתרגשים ומפעלים בבוא עליהם הרוח. כלומר, התנהגותו היה כנביא שרואה ומתרגש בשעת קבלת נבואה. He's acting as a navi, like almost in an epileptic fit. But going back to a minute, the Abar Benel again says, היה מתנבא בעצמו מה שיהיה. That what was the נבואה? Very good. Isn't this cool? It was a personal premonition. He received a nevuah. In his nevuah, what did he see himself doing? This is so cool. He saw himself in his nevuah doing what? He saw himself in his nevuah trying to kill David. Let me ask you, if you, and that's why it's called a bad nevuah. He had a bad nevuah at that moment. David is playing for him, and he's picturing himself killing David. You ever do that again? Okay, I hope not. Again, not in this regard, but I mean, like, you're thinking about someone, and you have a bad feeling, or sometimes even a good feeling towards that person. You know what I'm talking about? Isn't that cool? Isn't that amazing? So he's thinking about it. Again, what do I want to call this? A personal premonition of nevuah. Do you see that? He has a nevuah. Oh my gosh, apparently it's in my system. There's something inside of me that wants to kill David. And you already know the background. Why is there something inside of him that wants to kill David? He's jealous of David. That's right. People are saying, and therefore, in his mind, he sees himself trying to kill David. Not once, but twice. Now we understand why twice. Again, had it been, we're bothered by the fact that it was twice. Because David, it's almost as if, imagine this, if you take the nevuah literally, that means that he struck David, and David moved, and then David came back, and, okay, shall try again. Again, here's the target. Do you see that? That's really strange. No. Only in his nevuah, Shaul saw himself, not once, but twice. Why is that significant? Only twice, and not three times. It's almost as if, what did he do to himself in the middle of his nevuah? Stop, right? Again, this. Stop, bad dream. Again, just stop this right now. He has a difficult time with this. By the way, does he want this to happen? No. Again, and that's why he realizes, oh my gosh, Hashem has left me and he's with David. He realizes this in his dream. And that's why he sends David, instead of killing him, he sends him out of his face. Why? What's he afraid of? I don't want you here anymore because, again, I don't want to get to that state of killing you. Again, this is a beautiful explanation. Wow. Let's turn for a minute. So why does he make a Messiah la'elef? So the Malbim says it was a type of punishment. But one could also understand something else. The Dat Mikra even says that Shaul realizes, oh my gosh, there's something inside of me that wants David dead. But you know what? It's much better, not only if I get him out of my sight, but let me make him a general. I even skipped the psukim in between where he says maybe he'll even marry one of my daughters and then he'll have to go and fight against the plishtim in order to earn Michal, and then he'll be killed by the plishtim and not by me.
Really,
isn't that better?
That Shabbos story.
Oh, 100%. 100%. That's going to be the next year. How do you know? Again? Isn't that cool? So, okay. Hakka, but you can figure it out. You really can. Again, whether the Natan and Batsheva scene, whether that really happened or whether Zevit had a personal premonition, 100% it goes back. You remember this?
Do you think that David got the idea from Joel that he figured out that Joel was trying to kill him?
Oh, so yet? Oh, no, I thought you were jumping to that also. Sorry, so I'm going to give you two scenes to look at. The David HaMashava, meaning the Mashal Kivsat HaRash. I want you to reread that story. You ready? This is your homework assignment for last time because you all prepared this one so well. Again, now, so for next time, you're going to prepare the Mashal Kivsat HaRash, Perek Yud Bet, right after David and Batsheva. And how do we always understand the Mashal Kivsat HaRash? That David is the Ashir and Uriah is the Ani. Yeah? So I want you to understand it differently. You ready? That the Ashir is Shaul and David is the Ani. Can you try that? It's not about David and Uriah, it's about Shaul and David. The Seder? Think about that. Okay, but back to what Dina's saying.
Do you think that David figured out, oh, maybe Shaul's trying to kill me, and then 20 years later said, oh, well, now I'm going to copy him, get rid of Uriah?
Perhaps. Do you think he consciously did? No, it's hard to imagine.
Not, right? But except that it's too coincidental that both kings were afraid of someone who was...
Very true. So I wouldn't call it coincidental. I would call it, again, somewhat psychological, right? That the one who's abused very often will end up abusing others, right? And I think it's completely, David is completely unconscious of it until who reprimands him exactly in that way? Natan HaNavim. He says, you realize? You've turned into Shaul! And how does David respond? So, there. Okay, so reread that. That's your chazar. Okay, so in any case, take a look at this, though. But nireshe ishtar chachay, la spirit kol ha-parsha, to understand, nevua is kipshuto, dahaynu sha'ulo b'met matil etachanit, el ha-yaro et atmo, b'marelu ki matil etachanit. He sees himself doing this. Lefian havana hazon, now all of our questions are answered. Isn't that exciting? So let's go through them. Kodem kol, lo kara utosi por pamayim. Did the story actually happen twice? No, it doesn't make sense that it would happen twice. We think that after one attempt at killing him, what would David do? He would run away. He would get out of there. He wouldn't be surprised when Yonatan told him, Ela ze nevua. And then the second time around, what happened? Then he actually did it. Why didn't David run away the first time? He's playing on his harp or slash violin, and maybe you see Shaul going like that, and he probably, I don't know, changes the tempo with his music. Does he have any spear being thrown at him?
No.
Absolutely not. He has no reason to run away. Notice the second time around, was there a double attempt? No, he threw it how many times? And David is out of there. Elak farbo to laila nasal nafsho. That very night. K'mochin ereshishas ber lamashen emar pamayim. Imza hayasi porsha karabu poal kashem al David lama David lo nisar karaya pamarushan alak we just said. But rather, again, it was all in his nevuah mind. And maybe the whole idea is it's coming around and around and around. Chazal say if you have the same dream three times, beware. Again, the tanit chalom, the teeth. Okay, I'm not going to get into this. But I would say in Shaul's case, he manages to control himself. He sees David miraculously getting away from him. Shaul realizes Hashem is with David. And one way of understanding it, you ready? I can read it as, now Shaul is afraid of David because Hashem was with him, i.e. with David, and left Shaul. Or how else can you read this? Shaul is now afraid of David because Hashem was with him. With who? Shaul, in the form of nevuah. And he realizes that what is that nevuah all about? That nevuah was a personal premonition that Hashem is with David and has left Shaul. That it's not only that he's the chosen one by the populace, that Hashem is watching him under all circumstances. And even though we know Shaul was a phenomenal warrior, David is able to get away. And maybe he's wondering, oh my gosh, was that just a bad dream? Was that really nevuah? Chazal tell us, maybe it was just a hirur, maybe it was, like the Rambam said, maybe it was really a chalom at the beginning. And that's why Shaul masir David mi'imo. He gets rid of Shaul. He's afraid that this nevuah is going to come true. It's a terrible nevuah. What is the nevuah about? It's about the fact that he's going to try to kill David. By the way, how do you see Shaul now? He's still a somewhat negative character, but very nice. We're redeeming him here a little. He doesn't want to get to that state. He doesn't want then to get to the state. And maybe that's exactly why he gets the nevuah. It's almost as if Hashem is warning him. You have it in you, Shaul. You have it in you to want to kill David. I'm warning you. Don't let that express itself because David's going to win. David's going to get away time and time and time again. And that's why as soon as Yonatan talks to Shaul, what does Shaul say? You're right. I'm getting him out of my system. I'm getting any negative feelings of David out of my system. Was he lying to Yonatan? I don't believe so. He's working on himself, right? Maybe he should have seen a better therapist, right? But whatever the case is, he says, yes, it's true. I'm not going to kill David. But what happens soon thereafter? He really doesn't want to hurt David. And that's why he's going to send him out. But in the end, when Yonatan talks and he indeed is going to calm him down, then Nireshah Shaul shocheach leidatam mamare lukim asher ra'a et hayira v'kasha bo b'kvotah. But as you know, again, sometimes something deep in our subconscious, a premonition that we have, sometimes it comes out, and at the worst times. So even though Shaul tried to conquer this, at the end, v'mheira hatzlachato shel David v'kosif ha'machama liyot v'yeti David v'yelchei b'plishtim, the more popular David gets, Shaul can't help to control this anymore. And sure enough, ach kefi shara'a b'nevuah, David matzliach l'chamik mechanich v'lavroch miyadav. Then it does manifest itself in reality. Again, a beautiful idea here, showing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sometimes send us nevuot as premonitions for what's to come, so we'll be able to conquer it. Right? So I don't know what that means about I'm thinking maybe I should write an anti-Pilegesh Tshuva based on last night. I don't know. But the whole idea is that you're supposed to use this to improve yourself. And unfortunately, Yana Shaul does not. And obviously the question then is, Mahu Asiba Shashem Hitkalel Shaul, Lashem Ma Hashem Gila, et Ozen Shaul Shadavid Hushay Meluch Tachtav, why is Hashem giving him this premonition? Maybe again, so that Shaul will not be the vehicle through which David has to run away. Imagine, by the way, had Shaul not really tried to kill David. Imagine had he conquered this Yetzer Nevu'i of his. Then what would have happened? David could have probably stayed in his midst. He would have married Michal. Shaul would have had descendants on the throne. Do you see this? Yonatan would have been the first in command. Shaul would have not had to die the gruesome death, whichever version you want to take. Again, the end of Shmuel or the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, the beginning of Shmuel Bet, whatever the case may be. But because of this, he's going to then end up going in hot pursuit of David. And time and time in Barzif and Gedi, it takes him four times to realize, oh my gosh, again, the Nevuah keeps coming back to him, that I'm trying to kill David, but ultimately David keeps getting away until, who remembers, what is the last scene that's told to us? That may not be the chronological scene, this is a part of the article that I didn't write yet. Again, the last scene is David in Midbar Zif. Shaul, his circle of friends has gotten smaller and smaller. Shaul is in the Midbar. Who's next to him? Avner is watching him. Excellent. And what does he have by his head?
Jar of water and a spear.
Very nice. Isn't that cool? He has his chanit there again. And why is the chanit there?
So that he can protect himself from enemies.
On one hand, to protect himself from enemies. On the other hand, why is he there in Midbar Zif? Because the Zifim said that David is there. So to kill David, to fulfill that nevuah, that negative nevuah, again, to go and kill David. What does David do? He sneaks in, even though Avishai again says, you may as well just kill him already. David says, right, I'm not going to send my hand. Again, lingoa b'mashiach Hashem. Basically, David almost interprets the nevuah of Shaul for us. That once you realize that someone has been appointed by God, do you touch that person? No, you conquer that person. And you feel it. You feel that David struggles with this as well. Again, that each time, again, one of the B'nai Tzruya tells him, kill Shaul in En Gedi. And he almost does. What do I mean by that? He tears a little bit of his cloak, and then he said, I shouldn't have even done that. Right? The idea of, again, we have these premonitions inside of us, and David is the contrast to Shaul. He's able to control it. He takes the chanit, and he raises it to Shaul. And it's almost as if when Shaul sees his own chanit in the hands of David, what does he finally realize? That's it. It's over. And then he goes home, never to attempt to pursue David again. That's when that personal premonition he realizes, unfortunately, did come true. And he didn't control it, that Hashem was giving him an opportunity through the Nevuah. In the case of Yaakov Avinu, it may have been one of reassurance. In the case of Shaul, it was meant to herald to him, again, the evil that he had inside of him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hoping, perhaps you can control this. And that's why it's important that the scene repeats itself twice, one in the form of Nevuah, and the other in the form of its negative realization. Laila Tov.